Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we could visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
Good morning, good morning. How is everybody? All right, we're a little asleep, but that's okay because our first song is Your Love Awakens Me. Let's stand up and sing together.
Y'all ready? One, two, three, four.
Us. By the cross you came and broke them down, you broke them down. There were chains around us, by your grace we are no longer bound, no longer bound. You called me out of the grave, you called me into the light, you called my name and then my heart came alive. Here we go. Your love is greater. Have a seat.
Methodist Church. What a joy and a blessing it is to see all of you today. Just so thankful for those of you that are with us here in the WAC. For those of you joining us online, we are just thankful that you are here. And I pray that this worship service is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schirmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague is Brother Hammett Evans, and he'll be bringing today's message. We're continuing on with our series, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And so he's going to talk about the story of the three strangers in the book of Genesis. It's going to be a wonderful message. I've heard it already. You will enjoy it, and it will be a blessing to you. Just a couple of announcements real quick before we get started. If you have an opportunity today, please take a moment and log your attendance. You should have been given a Connect tab by Kevin. Just fill that out and drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or if you're watching online, you can scan that QR code. Very, very important. If you have any prayer requests, please make sure you log those. We would love to be in prayer for you as we can. We have successfully, the Asbury Youth anyway, have successfully made it back from Ozark Mission Project. We got back Friday afternoon, and we thank you. We had 14 students and three adults go. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, you've seen some of the pictures, but it was really, really powerful, and I'll share part of that here in just a bit. But I am so proud of this group. They endured excessive heat. They endured sleeping on the floor. They endured an associate pastor that might have locked the keys in the bus. But we did learn how to break into the bus. And so I just want to tell you, if you're part of the youth at Asbury, you learn some very important life skills. And so, but we did. We endured a lot, and we had just a powerful week. God was with us the entire way. The last announcement is we have a wonderful children's event planned this afternoon. You can see it up there on the screen. It's going to be at Maumelle Park from 4:30 to 6:30. So bring the kids. It's going to be hot, but there's going to be water games and food and all those wonderful things. So it should be a great afternoon of fellowship. And with that, I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this moment that we can come together as your children to worship you, to praise and glorify your name. We ask that during this time of worship that you are with us, that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you move in us and through us, change us into the image of Christ you call us to be, show us how we are to respond to this type of worship today. We ask all this in your son's beautiful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand and continue to worship with us. This song says, "So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you." Hope that speaks to you this morning.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Yeah. And if you are for me, who can be against me? No one. When all I see are the ashes, it's impossible for you. My bad on that. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. Thank you, God. Yeah. When all I see is a cross, God, you see an empty tomb. Fear I
at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle.
Amen. Please have a seat. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious, loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this beautiful morning that you have blessed us with, this opportunity to come together to praise and glorify your name. All of us, God, have walked through this door at a different place, in a different space, with our own concerns and our own struggles, our own angers and frustrations, our own fears and doubts. But we know, God, and we trust that you win every battle in our lives. And so this morning, we place our unending trust and our limitless faith in you, that you walk alongside us, that you sustain us, and that you completely love us through all of our times of trial. And we give you thanks and praise for all of the blessings that you pour into our lives, blessings that are meant for us directly, and blessings that pour through us as a means to bless others. God, we thank you for the ability to be the hands and feet of Christ in this community. It is a great blessing for us to be the great neighbor that we are called to be. And so, God, we ask today that you empower in us a new and fresh mindset on how we can build your kingdom all around us. God, this morning we pray for all of those who are hurting. We pray for all of those, God, who are lost, who are angry. We pray for those, God, who have turned away from you. We pray for those who have afflictions that are in need of healing. We pray specifically this morning for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier. We pray for Barbara Clark and for Fred Williams. We pray for Megan Arnold and Joyce Dennis, for Doug Chenault, for Gene Hammett. Pray for Mark Schimmer. We pray for the family and friends of Kurt Bogan. We pray for the Reverend Mark Norman. We pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know that you are at work in all of those lives in a mighty way, and we give you thanks because your power is greater than anything we could ever imagine, and we know that you work to heal all of us and that your will is done. Above all else, we thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the mighty work that you did through him on the cross, his victory at the resurrection that set us free from the chains of sin that bound us. We thank you for his earthly ministry, for all that he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. And we thank you, God, for the power of prayer. We thank you for this time where we can come to you with our burdens, but also with our blessings. We thank you that that door has been opened to come to you. Jesus gave us that. It was also he who taught us how to pray with the Lord's Prayer. We will now in one voice join together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare our hearts and minds for our time of offering, I want to take a moment. I told you that I would share a story with you from this past week, the Ozark Mission Project. And I do want to let you know that here in a couple of weeks, and we'll announce it through all of our platforms, we're going to have a presentation during the Sunday school hour that you can come to where we will go over what we experienced on the three mission trips we went on. In case you don't know, our youth went to Alabama, Puerto Rico, and Ozark Mission Project this summer. And so they were very, very busy, and we experienced God in some really amazing ways. And so we have a lot of photos to show you. Some of the kids will share testimonies about what they experienced, and so we hope you can be there for that. But I do want to share one story this morning. We all know about what we do at Ozark Mission Projects. We go and we build wheelchair ramps, and we paint houses, and we do a lot of hard work. And it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, Ozark Mission Project is always the hottest week of the year. And so this week, as you know, was no exception. It was very, very hot. But all of our kids just worked hard, and we got every job done. Every night, they have worship. And at the end of worship, once it's over, you can either leave, and you can go out and play, or you can stay, and you can have a moment of reverence with God. And I was so amazed by how many of our children, our students, stayed in that sanctuary long after everybody else left and were praying together, and we were praying with them, and they were kneeling at altar rails with their arms around each other, praying, praying over each other. And that's the thing that when you pay the money and you go, that you don't expect sometimes, because these were 7th graders through 12th graders. And so it was so powerful, and I'm so thankful for this group of students. God did some amazing things in their lives. And that's possible because of the way you all give. It's an opportunity for them. And so I wanted you to know that, because sometimes we put money in the offertory or we send in a check, and we don't always know where that's going. Well, that's where it's going. It's going to form these teenagers so they become adult Christians that can help transform the world. And so I thank you for that. And so as we prepare for this time of offering, I invite you to give in whatever way you give, whether it's through your resources, your prayers, your time, because it goes a long way. Let's pray. Gracious, loving God, I thank you so much for this congregation. And I thank you for the blessed call that you place on our lives to participate in building your kingdom here on earth. It's an amazing opportunity, because we go out expecting one thing and you give us another. And what you give us is so much more powerful than what we could imagine ourselves. And so we thank you. And so I ask during this time that through the Holy Spirit, you move us faithfully, you move us powerfully as we give in all the ways that we can, because we know and trust that you are the great steward of our resources. It's in your Son's beautiful name we pray. Amen.
This may sound familiar to you. This is Help Us Accept Each Other in the tune of O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister, brother, each person to embrace. Be present, Lord, among us, and bring us to believe. We are ourselves accepted and meant to love and live. Us, O Lord, your lessons, as in our daily life we struggle to be human and search for hope and faith. Teach us to care for people, for all, not just for some. To love them as we find them, or as they may become. Mm-hmm. Let your acceptance change us so that we may be moved in living situations to do the truth in love, to practice your acceptance until we know by heart the table of forgiveness and laughter's healing heart. Lord, for today's encounters with all who are in need, who hunger for acceptance, for righteousness and bread, we need new eyes for seeing, new hands for holding on. Renew us with your Spirit, Lord, free us, make us one. Lord, free us, make us one. Amen.
Let the little children come to me. Don't get in their way, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of God. And today it's my honor and my privilege to welcome our kids to come down and visit with me for just a minute. Come on down. Man, we got some big kids here today. That's nice. So, I have a question. How are y'all today, first?
Good.
Everybody's good? I'm thinking about making some friends, some new friends. How do you think I can make friends? What do I need to do?
Give them cotton candy.
Give them cotton candy. That's one way. I think that's pretty good. What else could I, so I can feed them. That will come back later, Lennox. What else could I do? If I meet somebody that I've never met before, how could I help them become my friend? What could I do so that they could be my friend? Yes, ma'am.
Give them a compliment.
Give them a compliment.
Be kind to them.
Be kind to them, yes. What if I ask them something about themselves? If I ask them a question, maybe where do they go to school? Or who is their mom and dad? What if I invited a friend to go, I don't know, to the trampoline park with me? You think that would be okay? What else could I do to make a friend? No ideas, no ideas. So our story today, in our story that Brother Nick is gonna read in just a minute, there's a guy named Abraham, and his wife's name was Sarah, and they were very old. And one day, these three men showed up at their house, and they didn't know them, they were strangers. So basically, Abraham decided to make them friends. And what he did was he invited them to eat. And so Sarah started fixing dinner, and they ate a meal together. And he let them like wash their hands and make themselves at home. Today we would say, here you can have the remote control for the TV. He treated them like they were family, like they were his family. And because of that, one of these strangers, it turns out, was the Lord. And the Lord said that he was going to bless Abraham and Sarah. And so what I'm going to talk about in just a minute is how, when strangers show up to church, how do we make them our friends? How do we become friends with them? And there are a couple things you can do. One is, if you meet somebody that you don't know,
just introduce yourself. Say, hi, I'm Hammett, except you say your name. And you might invite them, like today we're having a family picnic this afternoon. You might invite that new friend to go to the picnic with you. There are just all kinds of ways to be friendly and to be kind and to get to know people so that they become our friends. Y'all good? All right, would y'all pray with me? God, we thank you for the people that we don't know yet who will be like family to us. And we pray that our church family will welcome strangers just as we would welcome you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all.
Hello? Okay. I don't know if that's the fastest anybody's ever ran, but I think Paxton just got back to the booth in about half a second, which is good because I need these slides. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, read verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he sat at the entrance of his tent in the day's heat. He looked up and suddenly saw three men standing near him. As soon as he saw them, he ran from his tent entrance to greet them and bowed deeply. He said, "Sirs, if you would be so kind, don't just pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought so you may wash your feet and refresh yourselves under the tree. Let me offer you a little bread so you will feel stronger, and after that you may leave your servant and go on your way, since you have visited your servant." They responded, "Fine, do just as you have said." So Abraham hurried to Sarah at his tent and said, "Hurry, knead three seahs of the finest flour and make some baked goods." Abraham ran to the cattle, took a healthy young calf, and gave it to a young servant who prepared it quickly. Then Abraham took butter, milk, and the calf that had been prepared, put the food in front of them, and stood under the tree near them as they ate. They said to him, "Where's your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "Right here in the tent." Then one of the men said, "I will definitely return to you about this time next year. Then your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were both very old. Sarah was no longer menstruating. So Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, "I'm no longer able to have children, and my husband's old." The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Me give birth at my age?' Is anything too difficult for the Lord? When I return to you about this time next year, Sarah will have a son." Sarah lied and said, "I didn't laugh," because she was frightened. But he said, "No, you laughed." And that's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nick. Well, good morning and welcome to Asbury. I'm glad to see you all here in the WAC as well. And I'm thankful for those of you who are watching online as well. I noticed that Marty and Nancy were watching just a second ago. So let's say hi, Marty and Nancy. Hi, Marty and Nancy. It's nice to have y'all with us today and those who are joining later on in the week. This is our Won't You Be My Neighbor series. Through the years, Asbury has really prided itself on being the friendliest church in town. And this is a good time. We don't see very many guests during the summer, but then a lot of folks are away on vacation. With the surge going on right now, some folks are just worshiping online again. And there are about 40 households that worshiped with us last week online. Amen? So we are more than in the room, and we need to be thankful. We are thankful for that. Today we're digging into a story. This is a good time to talk about how we practice friendliness. How can we be the friendliest church in town? What are the simple practices that we need to do that effectively? Let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us today, wherever we are gathered. And we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. It was hotter than a chili pepper in an overcoat the day the strangers came. A sultry breeze whimpered through the oak leaves. Abraham sat at his tent, turning the sun-baked soil with his walking stick. Like rings in a tree, Abraham's hands told his story, walking and wandering and waiting. 24 hard years had passed since the Lord called Abraham. Go, God said, go from your country and your kin and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. 24 years of walking, wandering, waiting. Haran to Canaan, Canaan to Egypt, Egypt back to Canaan. God, along the way, promised land and descendants. Abram believed, but his faith did not bring fatherhood. So 10 years in, Abram and Sarai, his wife, decided to take matters into their own hands. They incubated and hatched a plan to have a son through Sarai's slave girl, a girl named Hagar. Soon enough, Hagar conceived, but Sarai's jealousy got the best of her. She treated Hagar very cruelly, and Hagar, heavy with child, ran away. And there in the wilderness, God met her and told her to return. Soon, Hagar gave birth to a boy. Abram, his father, named him Ishmael, which means God hears. Abram was only 86 years old. Well, about the time Ishmael became a teenager, the Lord came to Abram once again and reiterated the promise. God promised land and descendants. In return, Abram would obey God's commands. As a sign of the promise, Abram and all the other males in his family were to be circumcised. And at that moment, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means the father of many, and Sarai's name to Sarah. God promised to give a son to Abraham through Sarah. Now, I don't mean any disrespect, but to say that Sarah was beyond her prime would be an understatement. Amen? She was only 90 years old when Abraham received this news. And I know we had at least one nonagenarian in worship in the earlier service this morning. I mean, I wonder what she would say if somebody came up to her and told her that she was going to have a baby in a year. My granny's birthday is this Saturday. She's going to turn 94. And so I went by to dress her wounds yesterday, and I asked her what she would say. And she laughed, and she said, well, I would say, how do you know? She wanted some proof. Well, Abraham, when he heard this news, did what I did. He fell down on the ground face first and laughed out loud. He said, can a 100-year-old man father a child? Can 90-year-old Sarah have a baby? You've got to be kidding me, Lord. And he begged God to bless Ishmael instead. He just thought it was impossible. And so God said, no, Abraham, you're having a baby with Sarah. And I'm going to bless Ishmael too, but my promise will be fulfilled through your new baby boy. Well, Abraham was mulling all of this over in his mind when he looked up and he saw three men standing nearby, three men that he didn't know. Well, he gets up and he runs over to meet them and bows down to the ground like a slave as a sign of honor. And he says to the men, come on. Why don't you stay a while if it pleases you? Why don't you let me go get you some water so that you can clean up a bit? And won't you stay and have a bite? You look really hungry. Then you can get on your way. Well, the strangers said, that sounds really good to us. And so they stayed. Abraham ran back over, went inside the tent, and he told Sarah to take three measures of flour and make some cakes, make some biscuits. Now, here's what you don't understand, because I noticed that you didn't laugh at that. When Abraham says three measures, he's talking about 15 quarts of flour, 3.75 gallons of flour. I don't know how many of y'all bake bread, but that's a bunch of biscuits, y'all, a bunch of biscuits. Then he goes out to the pasture, and he picks out the best calf, and he tells his servant to butcher it and to cook it. So Abraham shows his guests the finest hospitality available in the ancient Near East. He welcomes these uninvited guests like they're members of his own family. And he serves them nothing but the best, veal, a special dish of yogurt and herbs, and all the homemade biscuits they could hold and more. Well, as the strangers ate, Abraham stood nearby to make sure that every need they had was met. The strangers asked Abraham where his wife, Sarah, was. And that must have come as quite a surprise, because how did these strangers know his wife's name? He said, well, she's over there in the tent. And one of them said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. Now, Sarah, meanwhile, was listening from the entrance to the tent. And as I said before, Sarah was well past her childbearing years. So Abraham was no spring chicken, neither was she. And Sarah laughs and says under her breath something in Hebrew that never gets translated correctly. And I assure you, this is exactly what the Hebrew actually says in this verse. Nobody translates this right. She says, after I'm old and worn out, I'm going to have pleasure with that old geezer. That's what she says. Some people give Sarah a hard time because she laughed, but I would have. And at least she laughed to herself. She tried to snicker and keep it to herself. Abraham fell down on his face right in front of the Lord and laughed at him. That's probably what I would have done. Well, one of the strangers, one of the three strangers, was not laughing at all. It turns out it was the Lord. The Lord said to Abraham, Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, am I really going to have a baby now that I'm old? And you can almost hear God say, didn't you share the news that I told you 10 years ago? She should have expected this. But you see, Sarah wasn't even around when the Lord told Abraham she was going to have a baby. It's no wonder she laughed. So it sounds to me like God's scolding Abraham for not telling her the good news. Abraham responded the only way that most of us men would know how to respond to God in that moment. He goes, I don't know. God said, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? I will be back at the right time, and Sarah will have a boy. Once again, God restated the promise made long ago. Well, Sarah was terrified. She was embarrassed, not so much that she laughed, but that the stranger overheard her laugh. That was kind of rude. And she says, I didn't laugh. And God says, oh, yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, you did. Months passed by, and sure enough, the Lord made good on the promise. Sarah got pregnant and had a son. Abraham was the ripe young age of 100 years old when the boy was born. And so he named the boy Isaac, and it means he laughs. And if I say it in Hebrew, you'll hear it. There's a little ha-ha in it. It's itzahak. Did you hear the little ha-ha? It means laughter, or he laughs. So Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. Everyone who hears that a 90-year-old woman has had a baby will laugh with me. So I want to ask you this morning, that's the story. When have you been a stranger and someone welcomed you? When have you been a stranger and someone made you feel right at home? You know, like Abraham and Sarah, Michelle and I love to travel, and the last trip we had planned was to go to Italy in the fall of 2020, and that did not happen. And one of the things that I've missed about traveling over the last couple years is being a stranger. To travel well, you have to learn to trust in people's good graces and receive their hospitality as a stranger. So we lived in England for a year. This is our first Christmas during our marriage. We got married and moved to England. And there's some of our friends in the photo. When we moved there, the first two or three weeks were just like really intense. I mean, the feeling of being fish out of the water doesn't even begin to describe it. Everything was completely different. I had to learn how to drive on the other side of the road, on the other side of the car with the gear shift still in the middle. And if you've never done that, when you start out, it's like driving in a mirror. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever experienced. And it would just, I mean, you drive 15 minutes and you would just be absolutely exhausted from this experience. Right turns are the worst, because their right turns are our left turns. And to get that turned around in your brain took me months. But it was funny, though. I was in Conway several days this week, and they have roundabouts, and Americans don't know how to use the turn signal to let you know where they're turning. I do it just like they do in England, but I always want to go left, and it's terrible. But anyway, I did not do that this week. But anyway, driving 15 minutes would wear you out. And you would think if you moved to England that they would speak English, amen? And they claim to speak English, but it's not like any English I have ever heard. The folks in Norfolk, where we lived, did not talk like Daphne on Frasier. They have their own distinct accent and their own expressions and ways of saying things. And the Dutch had helped them build dikes. It was a very marshy area, and the Dutch married in with the ladies there. And they have this really kind of Germanic English thick brogue accent, and it's just really difficult to understand. Every personal interaction with somebody in my church took every ounce of energy that I had. It was exhausting. On top of that, the English have all of these unspoken rules of etiquette. They're kind of born with them. It's in their blood. They know them by heart. But Michelle and I were always making some faux pas. And to be fair to us, they were making faux pas too in our terms, but we were on their turf. I will tell you some of those when I'm not in the pulpit. But anyway, the English are not hollering people. They are not hollering people. We hollered on the streets, "Hey, what's up, Tony? How are you doing?" They don't do that. We said that we wanted our fish and chips open and then tried to sit and eat in the chip shop, and we got kicked out of the chip shop for doing that. We ate biscuits, what they call biscuits. Of course, we call cookies. We ate cookies before they were offered. How rude was that? And then I went on my first pastoral visit. I went to the hospital. I've been doing hospital calls since I was about 18 or 19 years old. Did a hospital call yesterday. I went to see this lady in the hospital. Her husband had died 2 weeks before. And I knew this going in. Now she's having some heart issues. She's in the hospital. I go to meet her and have a visit. And we get into the conversation, and she mentions her recently deceased husband. And in pastoral care, they always said, okay, you really want to get at the issue that's underlying what's going on. This is a time to really listen and to ask questions. And so she starts talking about it. A tear comes to her eye. And all of a sudden she says, "Never mind," and starts talking about the flowers in her yard and how pretty they are. And I was stunned. I kept in my American mind thought, I really need to bring this back around to her husband, but it just never went back that way. Then I went to visit another woman in her home, and I thought it was like a 30-minute visit. I was going to get to know her and her son, and I'd be in, out, on my way. 30 minutes, after 30 minutes, I stood up, and I said, I've got to get on back to Watton, where we live. And I stood in that doorway for 2.5 hours. I could not figure out how to politely say goodbye and leave. Sometimes I have nightmares that I'm still at her house. So we just didn't understand the rules. It was so stressful. Until the day we went to Nadine's house. Nadine was about our age. She was a single mom, lived out on a farm, and she invited us over for tea and biscuits. We sit down at her table, and it took only about 5 minutes to figure out that whatever her accent, Nadine was a Southerner. Amen? We started asking questions. She said, "I'll tell you anything you need to know." I told her about getting stuck at the lady's house. She said, "This is what you do, Hammett. You're sitting down in your chair." I'll just go grab a chair. I'm sorry, I'm probably going to feed back. She said, "So you're sitting there and you're talking, and she said, this is what you do. When you get ready to leave, you say, 'Right, I must be off,' and leave. I would never do that to you, Kevin. I would never think to do it. I mean, we have a Southern goodbye that lasts about 10 or 15, 20 minutes or something like that. And you know, if your father-in-law says, don't rush off, you need to stay a while longer, right? But that was completely fine with them. I started doing that. I did not have another problem getting being late to a meeting. The other thing that I asked her about the visit, the hospital visit, and she said, you were right. She said, your instinct was right. When we say never mind, it's a very polite way of ending a conversation. And if you had brought her husband back up, it would have been extremely rude, and she would have been very offended that you did that. So we asked her a bunch of questions. We were strangers in a strange land, but I will tell you, I have never felt more at home, more welcome, than I did at Nadine's table. Now, here's why I'm telling you that. Visiting a new church, in many ways, is like visiting a foreign country. Every church has its own personality, its own culture. And often we're not even aware of those things. They were born and bred into us. We take those things for granted and expect people who are our guests to understand them when they don't. So I want to ask you, who has made you feel at home? Who has made you feel at home? And especially if you weren't born into the Asbury church family, who made you feel welcome when you came here? I've heard some names that I'll share. What about Bill Jones? Anybody remember Bill Jones? Yeah, the Adkins dude. What about Wally G? Wally G. It's a Bible study named after him now. I actually knew Wally. I didn't know it until a lot later, but I had met him. But David Moore. Yeah, I see some hands going up. What about Tom Weir? A lot of more hands going up. This is an old one. These two are old. Roland Shelton. Ah, I see a few, yeah. What about Alan Keefe? Yeah. Dick and Val Carr. If you ask a certain segment of our church family, like, how they got here, they will all say Dick and Val Carr. And a bunch of them are choir members, and they're members of the Emmanuel class. It's all Dick and Val Carr. What about Vicki Logan? One or two, yeah. Coach Sarks, Ron Paulson. I mean, those are the folks that are the face of Asbury when you walk through the door. And they have been, those are the people that have done that for generations. So here's the thing. Some of them are gone now. And it's in our hands now. It's in our hands now to make people feel at home here. When a stranger walks through the doors here at Asbury, God calls us to welcome them like they were members of our family. Members of our family we just haven't met yet. So how do we do that? And I know this is really simple, basic stuff. But the first thing you can do is introduce yourself. Introduce yourself. I made the mistake of introducing myself to somebody who's been coming here for about 9 months a couple weeks ago. And guess what? They came back the next week. I just laughed. I said, of course, that's who you are. I see you every week. Introduce yourself. Putting your foot in your mouth is no big deal. Worst comes to worst, you find out that they've been coming here since God was a child, and now you've made a new friend who already goes to your church family, your church. Amen? Worst comes to worst. It is worse, though, if somebody comes and nobody says anything to them. It's a lot worse. You know, you just walk up and say, hey, I don't think we've met. Are you new here? I did that after the first service this morning. She said, no, we haven't met. Tell me who she was. And So anyway, I don't visit churches very often because I'm doing this every week, but I did, like one Sunday after Christmas a few years ago, I went to this big old mega church in Atlanta, and they're growing and, you know, and all of that, thousands of members and all of that, every resource that you can imagine on hand. I walked in, had no idea, never been in the building before, didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do, didn't know where the sanctuary was, and do you know that not one single person in that humongous church said a word to me from the moment I walked in the door until the moment I walked out after the service. Not one person. Now, if I was looking for a church home, I would not have gone back. That brings us to the next thing. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. And what I mean by that is you want to be looking. And when you come to church, a lot of times, especially because of COVID, we've been separated from our friends and family and church family for so long and off and on. It's really easy to kind of focus on seeing our friends and family. You got to keep your eyes open for people who have never been here before. They will be looking around and they'll be looking for signs and things like that. So keep your eyes open for people who don't know where to go and what to do. A very dear friend of mine visited church for the first time with her two small children. One of them was nursery age, the other one was kind of Sunday school, young Sunday school age. She shows up at church for the very first time with one kid in her arm and another in like a carrier. And she walks in, the gathering area is like jam-packed with people. You can't even see the signs saying where the nursery is and where the Sunday school classes are. And she's just looking around trying to figure out how to navigate the building. When a church member noticed her and walked over to her and introduced herself to her and then asked her how she could help. And then she took the guest to the nursery and then took her with her other child to the Sunday school class that was appropriate for that age. And then after that, the member asked the guest to go to Sunday school with her. She did go to that Sunday school class and she made a bunch more friends there and she ended up joining and became a very faithful member of that church family. So that brings us to the third and final thing, and that's this. Introduce the guest to someone else. Introduce guests to someone else. And I do this. So if I meet a guest before the service, I will introduce myself. I'll talk with them for a minute. And I'm looking, while we're talking, I'm looking around the room to see who's there that's about their age. And I will go up to, like, Brian Hall, if they're about 30, you know, in mid-30s, and I'll say, hey, Brian, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. And then I'm trusting Brian to introduce them to somebody else and to invite them to his Sunday school class. Amen? That's the way that works. And so here's the thing. Here's why that is so important. So church consultants research all this stuff and study it, and they have discovered what helps people stick to a church family. You know what it is? It's friendships with seven church members. Did you hear that? Friendships with seven church members. That's all it takes. So when you meet a first-time guest, you introduce them to another family about their age and stage in life and help them to get connected to other groups and other people so that those friendships can be seeded. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Introduce yourself, keep your eyes open, introduce guests to somebody else. And I'll throw this out because this has been a big topic lately. That's also good security. That's also good security. But we can talk about that another time. Very simple. But that is how we make strangers feel right at home in God's house and bring them into God's family. You know, what I love most about that story of Abraham and Sarah that we've been dealing with today is that when they welcome those three uninvited guests to their home, they welcomed God. And God blessed them with the promise of new life, new birth. And I don't have to tell y'all, there's been so much death over the last 2.5 years. So much. And there has been so much change. Churches have been shuttered for far too long, off and on, stops and starts. People are now worshiping both online and in person. That's still going to be the trend for the future. We're still going to have 40 families joining us online while we're here in the room. That's different. So many things are different now. But the promise in this scripture is that God is still God. Amen? God is still God. God says to Abraham and Sarah, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? And the answer, of course, is no. Nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. Do you believe that? Nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. God brings laughter from our tears. God brings hope from our despair. God brings new life from death. And this story assures us that God's promises never, ever fail. God will always find a way into the future for us and for our church family. All we have to do is like Abraham and Sarah. Be faithful. Trust. Welcome strangers like their family. And know that nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. Let us pray. God, you are gracious and you are good. And you are always, always with us. And your promises are as good as your word. And so, Lord, in this season of change and upheaval, we thank you for being with us. And we pray that you will give us the courage that we need to introduce ourselves and get to know people who come to our church home for the very first time. And we pray that you will help us to keep our eyes open when our guests don't know where to go and what to do and don't know our culture. And God, we pray that you will help us to get to know one another and also to introduce the guests that we meet to others so that they can develop friendships that are nourished by faith through the ministries of Asbury United Methodist Church. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, Amen. We'll stand and sing together now, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. If you would like to become a part of the Asbury Church family, you're welcome to do that. If you're here and you'd like to transfer from another church, whether that's a United Methodist Church or some other denomination, you're welcome to do that today. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ and would like to do that, Brother Nick and I would love to talk with you about that, and you can let one of us know after the service. Let's sing together, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord promised good to me, His word my hope serves. reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing.
Last verse together.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below will be.
Thank you so much for being here today. I'm glad you were here, and thanks to those of you who have worshiped with us online. Next Sunday, we're going to continue our series. We're going to start moving into, like, how do we welcome people in kind of different categories. And next Sunday, we're going to look at it's one of my very favorite stories. It's the second most popular story, most well-known story in the whole Bible, and it's Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. And we're going to talk about what that means for how we show hospitality to strangers as well. So I want to encourage you to come back for that and stay cool, stay as cool as you can. And I even felt sorry for those raccoons I saw out in our backyard this morning. They were just look burning up. I mean, can you imagine wearing a raccoon fur, coat or something like that? Anyway, y'all have a wonderful week. It was so nice to see you. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord, and the people of God said, Amen. God bless.